Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shot fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Yeah, looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
Beautiful people, welcome to this Monday, May 10th, 2021 edition of WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. I hope you guys had a great weekend out there. First of all, I want to give a happy belated Mother's Day shout out to all of the mothers out there who are listeners of WKAR's Current Sports. You guys are absolutely awesome, and I hope you guys had a great Mother's Day, man. You know, Mother's Day, where we celebrate the fantastic moms in our lives. I saw many Instagram and Facebook posts throughout yesterday. I actually made the trip from from East Lansing to Detroit to celebrate Mother's Day with my grandmother, who is 93 years young. It was a great, great time as my auntie and uncle and cousin came through as well. My dad, my uncle, my other uncle as well. So it was just a great, great time celebrating Mother's Day. And I didn't get a chance to spend it with my mom. Of course, I did talk to her on the phone. You know, my mom, for longtime listeners, you guys know that my mom and my stepdad and my little sister, they live out in Miami. They've been out there for about 6 years now. So I actually plan on going to see them later on this week and probably take about a week off. So, but yeah, man, Mother's Day, just awesome, awesome stuff. I got my mom these really dope sneakers that she wanted, some Air Maxes that she wanted. then my grandma got her some flowers and puzzle books, because she does a lot of puzzle books, you know, during her daily routine each and every day. Also, what else did I get her? And a card, of course. You gotta get a card, of course. So yeah, just a great time seeing the fam and spending some time with the family, and I hope you guys did the same as well. And you know, now we turn the clock to Father's Day. You know, Father's Day will be taking place very soon as well. But I just really hope you guys had, you know, we got to cherish times like these. I think this past year and this pandemic has really put things in perspective for a lot of us, and makes us realize that we don't have an endless amount of time here on planet Earth, right? So, you know, especially, you know, my heart really goes out, though, every year when we celebrate Mother's Day and Father's Day, you know, to those who may not have a mother or father still walking this earth. And that's always a tough day as well. I saw actually Jalen Rose. He was on the NBA broadcast yesterday with, alongside Maria Taylor, and I believe Adrian Wojnarowski also on the air. And this was his first Mother's Day without his mother. And he just choked up and cried. And, you know, it was just a really emotional moment. But, yeah, for those who still have their mother, You know, we take that for granted because there are so many that, you know, during around this time of year. Yeah, it's just really tough because, you know, they may not have their mother in their lives anymore. You know, I saw even Carl Anthony Towns, who actually lost his mother this past year due to COVID-19. He played yesterday, and right before he played, he was just sobbing in the arms of his dad that was caught on camera. So yeah, bittersweet day for some, but for those who still have a mother still in their lives, maybe grandmother, you know, any kind of mother in your lives, man, cherish that. Really cherish that. I hope you guys had a great one out there. On today's current sports, we've got a few things that I want to touch upon. I want to give you guys an update as it pertains to the Detroit Pistons. As you know, this is Tankathon 2021, baby. You know, the highest reward for this year's NBA draft is definitely Cade Cunningham. He's going to go number one overall to whoever, of course, snags the number one overall pick. So, you know, it's going to be very interesting to see who comes out getting that number one pick. And the Pistons are right there, man. I want to give you guys an update as to where right now the Detroit Pistons sit in terms of possibly getting that number one overall pick in this year's NBA draft lottery. All right, because they are sitting pretty right now. And again, with just a few games left, they have to just keep on losing, man. Real simple. Go out there and just lose. And that's what I'm hoping for right now because, again, you just want to continue to increase your odds of getting that number one pick as the games go by here. So I'm going to give you guys an update when it comes to the Pistons. I'll give you an update on what happened yesterday in a loss, thank goodness, to the Chicago Bulls. And it was a career night for one particular Piston who I believe is going to have a pretty significant role with this franchise and is really going to help this franchise rebuild in the not too distant future. All right, so I'll touch upon that. I'm also going to touch upon some Michigan State football, and I want to give you guys a few names to look for when it comes to, you know, possible incoming spring targets in the 2021 transfer portal, because again, the portal has just totally changed how college sports operates today. It really has. I mean, no longer is your loyalty just tied to the players that you recruited, because those recruits can now move and groove, and they've been given this incredible mobility via the transfer portal. And now coaches are having to prepare for that. But the catch 22 is, I mean, yeah, I mean, you may have some prospects that decide to leave your program, but you can also dive into that pot of the transfer portal and see if there's some talent that you can bring in to either replace what you're losing or just bolster your roster. So I've got a few names I want you guys to keep an eye on throughout spring that maybe Mel Tucker is going to give a go at. All right. And I also want to talk about the just the upcoming schedules for Michigan State football. Specifically, the 2024 schedule is complete now. And it's a very interesting schedule. I'll get to that as well. And then I'm going to also talk about this really controversial story in which I saw first reported by Detroit Free Press, Michigan State reporter Chris Solari. And it details some really unnerving things going on with the Detroit Mercy women's basketball program. All right, so I'll get to that. I'll also recap the big Canelo Alvarez and Billy Joe Saunders fight from Saturday night. Got a chance to check that one out. But first, a few updates. I want to start by giving you guys an update on what's taking place at the University of Louisville Golf Club at the University of Louisville as Michigan State women's golf is competing in the NCAA Louisville Regional. This is huge, folks. It's the postseason time for Stacey Slobodnik-Stoll and her Michigan State Spartans. I mean, it's awesome. I mean, again, I gave props to Stacey's squad last week, and they are a squad that we don't talk about much, but they deserve all the credit in the world. Really one of the best college women's golf programs, or just one of the best golf college programs in the nation, period. All right? Gender doesn't matter. And right now, I'm looking at an update. Again, it's you know, I'm recording this show. Actually, today, I'm still in Detroit, so I'm recording this from my grandmother's house. And as I'm looking at the leaderboard here at around like 11:30 in the morning, again, things could change by the time you're listening to this at 1 p.m., but Michigan State women's golf is actually leading the field, sitting at number one, first place, at one under par. How about that? One under right now. And, you know, it's different the way you do it because you have, again, a group of golfers competing. So it says through holes six through nine right now, Michigan State sitting at one under par. And number two, right behind Michigan State, is Mercer University. They are at even par through holes two through four. Then you've got a three-way tie for third with Tennessee, Auburn, Florida State, all one over par. All right, so I'll keep an eye on that leaderboard right now as I'm looking at a golf stat that is giving like a live update on what's happening out there at the NCAA Louisville Regional. But it is so remarkable what this team is doing. So efficient, some great talent on that team. And Stacey is just an amazing coach. All right, so I'll keep you guys updated throughout the hour, but I want to let you guys know that's going on, and it will be going on for at least the next 2 days, I believe. Or is it the 10th through the 12th? I believe it's the 10th through the 12th. But, yeah. Also, J. Cole. A few interesting stories before one interesting story before I get to the Pistons, my take on the Pistons right now, and I'll give you guys an update on the Tankathon. But check this. J. Cole, who is a rapper, pretty big hip-hop artist, pretty big, he is actually expected to play for the Rwanda Patriots, BBC. In the inaugural season of the Basketball Africa League. I kid you not, this is a real story. I've been seeing on Instagram that J. Cole, who is a big-time rapper, you know, for all of my seasoned current sports listeners out there, I mean, heck, you may even listen to him. I mean, he's a conscious hip-hop guy, one of my favorites. I started listening to him back during my Michigan State college days. He's amazing. He's amazing. I actually played a little bit of college ball as well. I saw on my Instagram that J. Cole has been like really training hard and preparing. He's been in the gym shooting jump shots and working on his crossover. And I had heard that, yeah, he's trying to make a run at playing in the NBA. That's what I had read. But now I see this Basketball Africa League story pop up. And yeah, he's going to play for the Rwanda Patriots. He arrived in Rwanda 2 days ago, and he's right now quarantining to play in the 12-team league. And he actually starred at Sanford High School out in North Carolina, and he was a walk-on at St. John's. But, you know, he ultimately turned his focus to music, good decision, before playing in an official Division I game with St. John's. So Duke can ball. And I guess he's still got, you know, some kind of basketball itch. You know, the fact that he didn't play in a Division I game and, you know, decided to attack music instead, he probably has some kind of regret like, dang, what if I did stay at St. John's and grinded it out and possibly went from walk on to, you know, a solidified position, scholarship position on the team and went after this NBA dream of his. So, you know, it, just one of those stories where this is a guy who has excelled in one part of his career, but he also is looking at another part of what could have been maybe another career playing, I don't know, in the NBA. I don't know. So we'll see how good he is. I, again, to walk on at a Division I program, to play at a Division I program, period, you got to have some skills. So he's got some talent, but again, he's not necessarily young anymore. I mean, J. Cole right now, I'm looking at his age. He's 36 years old. He's an 85er. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how this turns out. I don't know what the talent is in the Rwanda for the Rwanda Patriots BBC. I don't know what the talent is around the Basketball Africa League, but I tell you what, this is a very intriguing story. So the Rwanda Patriots will actually play in the first game on Sunday against the Nigeria River Hoopers. And that will air at 7 a.m. And ESPN News is actually going to carry it. How about that, man? That's pretty cool stuff. I mean, yeah, you get J. Cole in the basketball league, and that's instant ratings. So I'm going to try and wake up early on Sunday to check that out. Okay, now I want to dive into what's going on with the Detroit Pistons. All right, because they are in a possible franchise-changing position, depending on whether or not they do get the number one overall pick. Because I truly believe that Cade Cunningham, looking at his talent, what he can do, his size, his ability to stretch the floor, his passing ability, I truly believe that he is a star. And he's going to be a superstar. I'll say it now. I don't say this often because of how unpredictable professional sports drafts can be. But every once in a while, you'll see a player where you say, okay, that dude just has it. You know that when he does reach the next level, he's going to go out there and get you buckets. And that's exactly the kind of player that Cade Cunningham is. So the Cade Cunningham sweepstakes are on. I feel like a lot of teams, they echo my sentiments when I say and when I praise just how good of a player Cade Cunningham is. I mean, you're reading all of these high reviews everywhere. And for a franchise like the Detroit Pistons that has been just so down and out for so long, a franchise that has caused so much pain ever since the going to work Pistons hung up the cleats. Well, excuse me, hung up the sneakers, wrong sport. It's Monday. Now you look at this franchise and you just say, gosh, can we just get in a franchise-changing player and just build around him? And they've got a great chance at doing that right now if they land that number one pick. But the thing is, they got to keep losing. You got to keep losing right now because there are other teams in the running for the Cade Cunningham sweepstakes as well. And right now, the Pistons only have, what, like 3 games left? Minnesota tomorrow night, and then on Friday against Denver, and then they'll play the Miami Heat on Sunday. So you look at this and say to yourself, all right, 3 games left, good position here. You don't need to win these last 3 games. I mean, what is winning these last 3 games really going to do? Now, again, you can't actively, intentionally go out there and tell your guys lose the game. No, that can't happen. No. But, you know, as a coach, you can maybe give some guys some rest, limit minutes, something of that sort to give you a better chance of losing those said games. Right? That's how you can play this thing. Because you just can't intentionally say, all right, we're going to go out here and we're just going to lose, right? That can't happen. That's just not, no, that's not being a pro, all right? But, hey, you know, you look at what happened yesterday. You know, the Pistons did what they needed to do. They fell to the Chicago Bulls 108-96. And I want to give a big shout out to Killian Hayes. That's the player that I teased earlier. You know, this dude, he's a baller. He's a baller. I think, you know, and remember last year in the NBA draft, Killian was drafted with the number 7 overall pick by the Pistons. And his development is coming. You know, he's coming off this injury. And again, there's so many injuries happening in basketball today. But that injury really delayed his development. But again, we are seeing spurts that are so encouraging from this player. He scored a career high 21 points. He grabbed 7 rebounds, handed out 8 assists. And it was easily, when you look at that game last night, it was easily the most aggressive that we've seen Hayes this season. He was looking for his shot, taking perimeter jumpers. He was 3 of 6 from deep. Hit on plenty of floaters as well in the lane. He loves that shot. And now you'd like to see him get to the rim and finish more, or at least go to the free throw line and draw some fouls. But he still found ways to score, and that was a positive. I love that, man. You know, and also looking for his teammates with those 8 assists. Fantastic stuff. You know, now I'm not saying, you know, he was perfect in this game. He turned it over 7 times. But when you look at that stat line of 21.7 rebounds, 8 assists, that's an overall great body of work. You know, and he showed that if his jumper isn't falling, he can go to the rack and get you some buckets that way. All right. And I'm just excited. You know, if you give him a summer of working out his game, developing his body a little bit more, you know, what kind of player can he really turn into? So I think that the Pistons, they got it right with that number 7 overall pick last year. I you know, when they drafted Killian Hayes, I liked it when I heard his name called last year. And he's a great foundational player that you can also build around. So, at the end of the day, though, again, Pistons did what they needed to do. They lost the game. And now, looking at the tankathon, to give you guys an update here, 3 games remain, all right? And the Pistons are in sole possession of the number 2 slot in the lottery. And that's due to the Minnesota Timberwolves destroying the Orlando Magic. All right, so the end of the road is near. And, you know, you're not watching the Pistons to see if they win the game. You're watching the Pistons to see if they lose, and it gives you something to watch, right? the Red Wing season, said and done. Of course, the Lions are in the offseason, and the Detroit Tigers are, well, the Detroit Tigers. So it gives you some pro team to look at and be encouraged about this week as the Pistons sit at 20-49. They are now on a 2-game losing streak. I still don't understand why they got up and decided to beat Memphis, you know, not too long ago. I still don't understand that game. But again, they've lost 2 straight, 20-49. Number 1, who's holding down that number 1 spot? That's the Houston Rockets, who honestly they'll probably, you know, the Rockets will probably finish with the NBA's worst record. I mean, they are 16-52 right now. They are on a 5-game losing streak. And again, the Pistons at 20-49, they'll probably hold down that number 2 spot and just hope that the ping pong ball, you know, falls its way when it comes to the lottery. But great position here. Again, a 52% chance of 52.1% chance of landing a top four pick in this year's draft. And that's the same percentage of Houston, the same percentage as the Oklahoma City Thunder as well. And so that means that the percentages are the same to land a number one overall pick at 14%, you know, for all three of those teams. So I'm just hoping, man, because, you know, the Pistons just have not had great luck when it comes to, you know, landing that number one pick and, you know, or, you know, just the top pick in general. We've seen the Pistons fall more times than not, right? But if you want to have some fun, if you go to tankathon.com, T-A-N-K-A-T-H-O-N, I mean, they are really dedicated to, you know, the possibilities in the NBA draft lottery. You can go there and you can actually have some fun and hit, you know, they have the updated records of every team in the NBA. And you can actually hit the sim lottery button and you can just kind of play around and see what are the possible scenarios that could possibly come through. So it was just fun hitting the button and just seeing, you know, unfortunately, I hate to throw out this bad juju, but every time there's not been one time when I've hit the sim lottery button where the Pistons have landed the number one pick. I did it 10 times this morning. And I got to like the 12th time I clicked it in which the Pistons landed the number one overall pick. So let's hope that this lottery, simulation lottery on tankathon.com is a load of crap. All right, let's just hope. But, you know, anything can happen, man. That's what makes the draft lottery so interesting. You guys know I praised last week. I love what the NBA is doing in terms of the play-in tournament and adopting it this season, which is also a semi-shortened season, you know, down like 10 games or something like that. It was a very short season last year, of course, due to COVID-19. I was just glad that we got a postseason in, period, in which the L.A. Lakers were crowned the NBA champs. But I love the play-in tournament because, I mean, it really makes around this time of the year where, you know, you only got a few games left in the regular season. You see so many teams resting players, and it really doesn't mean anything. And guys are just resting left and right. But when you have this play-in tournament, it makes the game more competitive in these final few weeks of the NBA regular season because, look here, man, no team wants to play in the play-in tournament, right? You want to have one of those solidified spots, 1 through 6 spots. You don't want to be a team that's, you know, 7, 8, 9, or 10, in which you got to play in a do or die, you know, game. But for the fans, oh boy, it makes it so fun to watch, man. Now, I've heard this scenario kicked around as well. With the play-in tournament, right now, the way things are sitting, the LA Lakers, let me see here, because they sit. Let me look at the standings in the West real quick here because they may have changed. I know AD has been playing very well as of late. I haven't caught a Lakers game recently, but as of like 2 days ago, they were in the play-in game. I don't know if they worked themselves out of that. Right? Oh, no. They are, yeah, Portland because, yeah, Portland right now is sitting as the 6th seed in the NBA's Western Conference. So that means that right now at 38-30, Portland is 38-29. Right now, if the NBA went to the playoffs right now, the Lakers would be in the play-in game alongside the Golden State Warriors, the Memphis Grizzlies, and the San Antonio Spurs to figure out who will finish 7-8. So I've heard this kicked around as well online because LeBron James is so powerful in the NBA and how his voice makes mountains move in the NBA, right? And he actually, again, you know, I kind of went off on LeBron last week because he bashed the play-in tournament this year when he praised it last season. And it's like, dude, you praised it just a season ago. The only reason you're really sour about it. Well, let me guess. That's because your team may be playing in it this season. and may have to scrap to try and win, you know, try and defend that NBA championship that you guys won in a bubble last year. So I just annoys me. But anyway, the Lakers, if the Lakers were to get eliminated in the play-in tournament, would that force the league? Because LeBron James is so powerful and people love watching LeBron James in the NBA postseason, he is the face of the NBA. Would that change things moving forward? Because who wants to watch a postseason without LeBron James? Would that force the NBA and Adam Silver to look at things and say, well, our most powerful voice in the league isn't even in the playoffs because of this new format. We got to do away with it because it becomes a business decision. Would that change things? And I'll say this, possibly. I wouldn't put that past the league because it's still a business at the end of the day. But should it? Heck no. Because this is great for the fans. This makes us watch meaningful games around this time of the year. If the Lakers are in the play-in tournament, one game elimination in that first round, do you really think that people wouldn't be watching that? I know it would be appointment television for me. I would get my popcorn ready to see if the Lakers can pull themselves out of this mess. And look, when it comes to NBA ratings right now, I mean, look, last year with LeBron James playing, it was one of the worst rated NBA playoffs in a long, long time. One of the worst rated NBA finals in a long, long time. Because, you know, first off, you had the Lakers taking on the Miami Heat. We didn't even expect the Miami Heat to make it that far, right? That was a bit of a snooze. And then when it came to the overall ratings of the bubble, it's just, you know, the bubble was just a different kind of, I loved it because of all the games taking place. And it reminded me a lot of the NCAA tournament where you had just one central location inside this bubble. You know, we had maybe like two or three courts within the bubble and guys would just get off the court and then another game would happen. I loved it. You know, for a basketball junkie, I loved it. But as far as the intrigue of watching, you know, regular NBA hoops, the ratings showed that a lot of people didn't care for it. So the ratings in the NBA postseason already haven't been great. You're coming off a really bad year. So, and that was with LeBron James. So without him, there are still many great storylines for the average NBA fan out there. You don't change a format that is entertaining and good for the fans just because one said player isn't in it. But again, I know this player isn't a normal player. I mean, it's LeBron James, for goodness sake. But still, come on, man. This helps the competitiveness of the NBA, which I have been criticizing for a long, long time. All right, but what do you think? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, I'll have a brief segment B centered on the Michigan State football team. And I want to comment on a schedule that's in the distant future, 2024. Because that schedule has been finalized. It includes some intriguing opponents. And I want to talk about some possible targets that Mel Tucker may have his eye on during this spring transfer portal season. All right, don't go anywhere. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. I want to talk some Michigan State football briefly here, and I want to give you guys an update on the 2024 schedule for Mel Tucker's team because it's now complete. And check this. The Spartans will host Louisiana on September 14th, 2024. That's going to be the first meeting between the two schools. That's pretty cool, isn't it? Also, Michigan State will host Florida Atlantic on August 31st of that year. and will travel to Boston College on September 21st that season. So that now means, just to, again, give you guys an update on this, that means that Michigan State schedules are set through the 2025 season, and the Big Ten has not released conference dates beyond that. But, you know, we at least have that. That, you know, through 2025, everything is set. And the school also announced that two non-conference games that were wiped out in 2020 due to the pandemic, they have been rescheduled, and the Spartans will host Toledo on September 5th of 2026, and they will also travel to BYU on September 11th of 2032. Now, the game against BYU is the farthest out date that Michigan State has solidified. So looking at the future schedules, let's look at just this year, this upcoming season for Michigan State. They will take on Northwestern to open up the year. Then they will play Youngstown State. They will then be the Youngstown State game will be the home opener for Michigan State. So they will actually open up the year this season on September 4th on the road. So after Youngstown State, they'll take on Miami at Miami, Florida. Then they will return home for a two-game set on September 25th against Nebraska. And then that following week against Western Kentucky on October 2nd. And then they'll have Rutgers on the road, Indiana on the road. The bye week comes on October 23rd, right before they take on rival Michigan at home. All right, October 30th, Halloween Eve against Michigan. Then November 6th, they'll be at Purdue. November 13th, they return back home against Maryland. November 20th, at Ohio State. November 27th, they will finish up the season at home against Penn State. I really like this upcoming 2021 schedule. I like the way it's set up. I like, you know, that you get, I mean, you get a conference game right off the bat at Northwestern. You just get thrown right into the fire, which is intriguing in itself. I like that because it's a good test just to see where Michigan State is at the very beginning of the season in conference. I like that. I like knowing what we're seeing right off the bat rather than playing, you know, I don't know, some lollipop to open up the year out of conference. So I like the way the schedule set up, you know, good early litmus test at Northwestern, and then you return home to take on Youngstown State. And then the game against Miami the week after that on the road. I just like the way those three games are really set up. And then the bye week comes in at an ideal time where you've got, let's see, you got four conference games under your belt. You played some non-conference opponents in Western Kentucky, Miami, and Youngstown State. We'll have a very good idea of what Michigan State football is and isn't when we hit that bye week on October 23rd. And then you rest up, heal up with whatever injuries you do have, knock on wood, hopefully that's very minimal. You rest up to play your in-state rival in Michigan as Mel Tucker in his season debut, first year. Head coach of Michigan State, he knocked off Michigan last season, and now, you know, and he did that out in Ann Arbor last season. And now he returns home to Spartan Stadium to see if he can get a dub there. Oh, boy, I can't wait for that game on October 30th. But it's great that you get a week of rest to prepare for that game after you've had 7 games under your belt. So what say you about the future schedules for Michigan State football? You know, the fact that they will be taking on Louisiana for the first time ever come 2024. You've got Florida Atlantic that year as well, Boston College that year as well. They will be making up the two non-conference games that were wiped out in the pandemic year against Toledo and BYU, and those will be rescheduled in 2026 and 2032. What do you think about those moves to the schedule? And also, what do you think about this upcoming schedule for Michigan State football? Because I really like this upcoming schedule for Michigan State football. All right, but 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. When we come back, I'll take you on home with weekend winners. And I'll also, as promised, I'll give you a few spring targets during this 2021 transfer portal season that you may be seeing come across your headlines on your phone that Michigan State has landed. All right, I'll give you three of those names. We'll be right back. You are listening to the Monday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, and we just have a few minutes left here in the hour. And I want to take you guys on home by giving you, before we hit weekend winners to take you on home, I want to give you a few names that Mel Tucker may be picking out of the transfer portal to be a part of this Michigan State football roster come next season. So, I'll give you three names. Number one, I'm going to go with Tommy Bush, who is a wide receiver from Georgia. And, you know, back when he was recruited, Tommy Bush was actually one of Michigan State's top targets, which is why he's on my list here. He was recruited heavily by Mark D'Antonio in the Spartans. So, when he decided to go to Georgia, that was a bit of a hit for Spartan fans out there. He was ranked as the number 196th overall recruit in the 2018 class. He held, 46 offers. You know, every program was interested in this dude. He's got a great frame, 6'5", 195. He didn't do much of anything, though. On the field in his 3 years at Georgia, he was buried on the depth chart from his freshman year. And look, he's probably wishing he went somewhere else. So wouldn't it make sense if Mel Tucker was like, yo, holla at your boy. What's up? So, yeah, that's number one for me. Number two, I'm going with Ronald Williams, cornerback from the prestigious program that is Alabama. You know, anybody that comes from Alabama is worth going after. Ronald Williams is one of the best JUCO prospects, was one of the best JUCO prospects in the nation before committing to Alabama's 2020 recruiting class. Now, he was the number 12 JUCO prospect in the nation, listed as a four-star. He held nearly two dozen offers, which is rare from prospect at the JUCO level, all right? But he transferred, had just one tackle in two appearances during that national championship run last season, and he has decided to hit the portal in search of more playing time. So he's 6'2", 188 pounds, great athletic corner. And after watching the spring game, it's crystal clear. You know, not a lot of things you can tell from watching the spring game, but for me, one of my biggest takeaways was that it is very clear that Michigan State secondary needs some help, especially at the corner position. So MSU has added a couple of corners in the portal already, but, you know, Williams, I think, could be an immediate starter. You know, and after losing Stephon Johnson from the 2021 class, that opens up a spot. So keep an eye on him. Also, the other guy I'm adding on my list is Jordan Johnson, wide receiver from Notre Dame. All right. This is why he's on my list as well. According to a report from Rivals Mike Farrell, MSU was one of the first teams to reach out to Jordan Johnson when he hit the transfer portal this week. It's very, very fresh. All right. Following Notre Dame spring game, Johnson decided to lead a program, just like, you know, we saw a lot of Michigan State players. I mean, every program out there after the spring game was said and done, a lot of names hit the transfer portal, just like Michigan State. It wasn't just a Michigan State thing. OK, this is happening at every Division I program around the nation. So Jordan Johnson hit the portal, you know, trying to find more playing time and a better opportunity. And he could possibly get that at Michigan State. You know, even though Michigan State does have a pretty solid wide receiver core, you know, Johnson is good enough that, you know, he could at least be, you know, a backup to one of the star wide receivers on this team. You know, especially, you know, Ricky White's status is up in the air. While it looks like he'll be back, we don't know what type of a role he will have. So why not? Why not, man? You know, and especially looking at that report that Michigan State was one of the first teams to reach out to him. I mean, this dude is a former five-star, was the number 37th overall prospect in 2020, and he could be a fantastic transfer addition. I just keep an eye on that name, Jordan Johnson, wide receiver from Notre Dame. All right, folks. Let's take you on home with weekend winners. And my big weekend winner, I'm going number one here, Saul Canelo Alvarez. You guys know I'm a big fight guy, big, big fight guy. And I actually watched the Canelo fight at the socially distanced sports book at Greektown Casino on Saturday. You know, I linked up with some of the homies. I was in town from Detroit for Mother's Day. Again, you know, still here just for a day. I'll be returning back to East Lansing tomorrow. And we watched the Canelo Alvarez fight against Billy Joe Saunders. Alvarez ended up getting the knockout. The fight was stopped in the eighth round due to Canelo's blistering uppercut to the right eye of Joe Saunders. I mean, his eye completely closed right after he landed that punch. And, you know, it was at AT&T Stadium, in front of a record-breaking crowd of 73,126 inside of the home of my Dallas Cowboys, AT&T Stadium. It is a bit unnerving, man, when I just see, even though the pandemic is still going on, when I see 73,000 people inside of a stadium, when we are still trying to get people vaccinated, it is very unnerving. It just doesn't sit right with me. But hey, what are you going to do, man? What are you going to do? It was a thrilling fight, though. Just wanted to give it a shout out because I do believe that Canelo Alvarez is the best boxer in the world. He just is. He'll probably fight, you know, trying to get this the IBF belt held by American Caleb Plant. That'll probably be his next fight. But you also got, you know, Errol Spence Jr. out there, Vasily Lomachenko, maybe another fight with Triple G. A few contenders out there, but even Caleb Plant, who's a really good fighter, man, I don't see Caleb winning that fight just because Canelo is so fundamentally sound. I mean, he really looks like how Mayweather looked during his prime. It's like when Canelo lost to Floyd Mayweather, it's like he just became obsessive with that tape and just watched it over and over and over and over. But shout out to Canelo Alvarez. It was quite the atmosphere, an unnerving atmosphere, in my opinion, down in Texas at AT&T Stadium. I saw that Ezekiel Elliott was there, running back for my Cowboys, formerly of Ohio State lore, and also owner of the Dallas Cowboys, Jerry Jones, was also in the house. All right. But shout out to Canelo, man. He is must-see TV when it comes to the world of boxing. All right, but with that, folks, I will bid you all adieu. Before I do, though, let me get a quick update, give you guys a quick update. As Michigan State women's golf competing in the NCAA Louisville Regional. Right now, I started the show saying that they were leading at one under par, and I'm ending the show saying that they are leading at one under par. Still one under this time through holes 8 through 11. Mercer sitting there at second place, even par through holes 4 through 7. And then you got UCLA, which is taking the sole third place position. UCLA in third, one over par. Also, like Michigan State, throws 8 and 11. All right, one over par. So Michigan State, we'll give you guys an update on where they sit during tomorrow's show. Shout out to Stacy Slobotnik-Stoll, though. Just amazing what this program is doing. So, hey, go green. Let's hope that Michigan State can end the day in the lead here. As, again, this competition takes place in the NCAA regional through the 12th, so through Wednesday. All right? But with that, we bid you all adieu. I want you all to have a fantastic rest of your Monday afternoon and evening. We'll see you on Tuesday. Be smart, be safe, and as always, be easy, people.